Hi, I'm Selma, and I'm recovering from compulsive overeating. Hi, everyone. Grateful to be here. Wow, I haven't told my story for a long time, and it's been a long time. I always, when someone tells their story, I always want to hear a lot of what it was like because that is what I always identify with. I came to these rooms. Let's see, I was 21, and I'm how old am I now? 67. So 45 years ago, this year in July will be 46, I think, years. I started my first OA meeting I went to. I was 16. Wait, I'm just looking for the clock here. I don't see it.
It is on the screen. Okay, I set it for 10 minutes and then I'll do another 10.
Okay, yeah, because it's not showing. Oh, I see it up on the right.
Okay, and then I'll do another 10. Thanks.
excuse me. So I came into I went to my very first Overeaters Anonymous meeting when I was 16 because I was always trying to diet as a teenager, and my best friend's father was always on a diet. He was a 350-pound longshoreman. So, and my best friend, was real skinny. So her father and I would always talk about the latest diets. And that was back in the 70s, early 70s. And really back then there was people didn't really have a weight problem like our society and our culture has today. Our plates were the smaller size, portions were normal size. We walked everywhere. We didn't have computers. Everybody remembers those years, and so it was just na a natural way of the body maintaining a healthy weight, right? But the not everybody was that lucky, as was I was in that camp. And I think what happened to me was that I had a very stressful home life. I had an active alcoholic for a father, but more pointedly, he was a rageaholic, and nothing was ever good enough. And I wasn't good enough. My mother wasn't good enough. The household wasn't good enough. Everything, he was just always upset, always angry, always yelling. And so it was just a very oppressive environment in my household. And I was always depressed and struggling, and always felt different and alone. And so I think, I turned to food as a comfort. And I say I think I did because I was, up until about 13, food was not an issue, which is a blessing because I can look back on my childhood and think back to when food was just food, and sweets were just sweets, desserts were just desserts, and saw the progression where I would stop at the store on the way home from school and get one item, and then eventually it became two, and I could slowly see this addiction building, although at the time I didn't know it was an addiction. So let's see, that was when I was 16. I went to an OA meeting. I didn't understand what they were talking about, but the seed was planted. And then by the age of 19, when I moved out of my parents' house, my disease had progressed. My depression had de progressed. And once I moved out of my parents' house, all hell broke loose. I became bulimic because I was able to eat. It's like the dam burst and there just wasn't enough food. Now, the funny thing was, I went back to OA meetings, and I went back to some Weight Watchers meetings because I had joined Weight Watchers several times in my high school years too, but I couldn't stay on their program. And I went back and I went to OA and I just wanted to see what it was about, because I knew there was something different about it. It wasn't like the way in pay programs, but I couldn't figure out what it was. But I knew enough from going to a few meetings that it was a very I want to say emotionally dangerous program to join, because I could tell that they were going to get at feelings. Now, I didn't know this at the time. All I knew was my stance was, don't come near me, don't talk to me. I just want to see what you guys are doing here. But by the age of 21, I was so out of control with taking speed to not eat every day. And if I didn't take speed, I was binging my brains out and throwing up. The bulimia was out of control. I couldn't have a normal day with food. If I put food in my mouth, it was knock down, drag out, binging. So I started going to OA, and unfortunately, OA is where I heard people say that they would purposely go to the store and buy binge foods to binge on. And I thought, why? Oh, I didn't know people did that. Because my goal was to not eat. I just couldn't stop myself. So the thought of giving myself permission to go binge when God opened up a whole new can of worms, especially for a bulimic. Throughout my dieting and trying to understand what was wrong with me, I tried Weight Watchers, Thin Within, Tops. Tops was funny because, I mean, they actually had a picture of a pig, if I remember right, that you had to wear around your neck if you binged since the last meeting. So I didn't really join that program. I thought that was pretty shameful. I didn't need more shame in my life. Thin Within, where is the one where you eat. You know, what did you ask your body? What does it really want? Foods that hum, foods that sing, and just give yourself what you want, and then the cravings will go away. So after I gained 10 pounds on that one, I said, okay, that's not going to work. So there was even a program within the recovery community at a recovery place that increased the amount of food you ate, because their philosophy was the more fuel you give a fire, the more it will burn, your metabolism will burn. Well, I gained another 10 pounds in that program, so I went back to square one. I joined OA officially, quote unquote, meaning I surrendered and said, I have this disease. Well, let me back up and just say, when I came, I was 65 pounds heavier than I am now. And when I came in, I heard that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, I was like, okay, I've never been sane, but what they're saying here is there is a solution. And then they had a word for what I was doing, and it was called compulsive overeating. And that took 50% of my shame away, because I thought I was the only person in the world. I was so ashamed of the way I ate, of the cravings, of the addiction, of the inability to not be able to stop. Oh, the shame was so intense. And to hear that other people had that problem, it was like the seas parted and the sky opened up. It was like, oh my God, there's hope. And so I joined in San Francisco. And back then, the meetings were huge, and OA was the only game in town for 12-step OA recovery. John Bradshaw was really big. The recovery movement was really big. People were bringing teddy bears to meetings to love their inner child. I mean, it was just a really ripe time to get into recovery and make it safe to talk about what was. They said in meetings, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. And it was like, oh, a big sigh of relief. Okay, so I understand these people. I get these people understand. It feels really safe. And I started following. I can explore what's going on with me and I can get support. At that time, there was a gray sheet, there was a blue sheet. Do I have 10 more minutes? Okay, there was a gray sheet food plan, a blue sheet food plan, an orange sheet food plan, and the controversial group of we don't need a food plan. I tried all of them. And what I found over the years was because I am addicted to eating, if eating is left up, if when to stop is left up to me because of the nature of my addiction, I can't stop even if I want to, even if I'm in OA, even if I have a sponsor, even if I'm going to meetings. I'm addicted to the very thing that I have to figure out when to stop eating it. It just was too hard. I couldn't do it. So I tried three meals a day, nothing in between. No, I knew I couldn't eat sugar. And I tried that, but slowly over time, it became three binges a day with nothing in between. So I had to go back to some kind of food plan. I just knew for me, I had to ha be told this is a portion, this is how much you get, and this is the right amount for a healthy person, a person who's trying to eat in a healthy way to eat. So, long story short, I eventually reluctantly regret, resentfully joined HOW. Because they follow a specific food plan and it's weighed and measured. And I knew in my heart of hearts, that's what I had to do because I just couldn't stop. The doctor's opinion, I think, in the big book is the best part of the entire big book for me. I mean, I love the big book. It just describes my addiction to a T. But when the doctor's opinion talks about incomprehensible demoralization and a disease of the body, I mean an allergy of the body and the disease of the mind and the alcoholic cannot stop. That was what I think when I read that, I said, "This is me, this is me, this is me, this is me." And so I went to Hal and I sat there like this and I said, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I don't want to be here. And a little voice in my head said, you don't have to be here. You can go somewhere else. And then I got scared, like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I need OA and I need a food plan. I don't want to do it. So I need some support around this. That was about, oh, I don't know, 32 years ago, I guess. And to this day, I'm still in, I go to HOW meetings. I follow the weighed and measured food plan. I work the program. And it's all the same to me, which kind of ties into tradition three, which is the only requirement for membership, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Well, that desire was what brought me into the program. I certainly, 65 pounds overweight and being 21 years old, wanted desperately more than anything to lose weight. I wanted so desperately to be thin and be able to wear normal clothes. Back then, they didn't have what they have now, which is the large size. Being large size and a fashion around that. But back then it was very, very embarrassing to try to find clothes to wear. But what I wanted more than being thin was the monkey off my back. I wanted freedom from the obsession and the compulsion. I wanted to stop. I remember I wrote in my journal at the time, I can't even stop eating carrot sticks. I have to seem to have constant hand to mouth motion, hand to mouth motion. I have I can't stop eating. Get it? Eating. I was telling God, you know, or the universe, I don't know who I was yelling at, help me stop this. I can't function. I can't go, can't focus on my studies, can't go to work. I worked at Safeway when I, and you know, I had all the those open bins of food. It was just a nightmare. So really what I wanted was freedom from the obsession and the compulsion. And the third tradition says the only requirement for membership is the de desire to stop eating compulsively. So, what does it matter what program you're in, to me, if you get freedom from this horrible disease, and you can, and it allows you, and by finding the program that works for you within our 12-step framework. It allows you to have your life, a life, to live a life. I want to say three meals a day with life in between. That's how I look at it. What does it matter what your which one of our paths you take within the 12-step OA framework? So luckily, fast forward now to wherever, how many 60 years, we're 60 some odd years into OA, whether it's regular OA, 90-day, how I think the big book studies all of them. I mean, if it gives the person freedom and peace of mind, that's the other goal I have, peace, inner peace, clarity, calm. So let me take a look at the time. So in addition, just so for any of you that's new, I also have to add that the way I also eventually had to pair therapy with my program because I had to learn how to get through my feelings without reaching for the food because I had a lot of trauma. And I had a lot of pain. I had a lot of ACA issues. And I found the perfect therapist at the time who was also in recovery to help me detach from enmeshment within my family. And paired with my program, that's when I started to be able to hold on to some recovery. So, again, just for clarifying, I'm maintaining a 65-pound weight loss. I have 32 years of abstinence, and my daily program is to get up and meditate and journal if doing the writings. And when I hear myself complaining and being negative, I immediately try to come up with five things I'm grateful for. All you have to do is turn the news on, and it's so horrific and tragic what's happening around the world. I feel like I have nothing to complain about, nothing. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I have warm blankets. I have running water. I have toilet. I have access to as much food as I could ever want. Heat, water, everything. The rest, you know, is just, I want to say icing on the cake, you know, but we're all blessed that we aren't in a war-torn area right now or at any time. My meditation is, step three is so important to me, step 11, step 12. And I go to about three meetings a week now still and do service. And I use all the tools. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to see all you people here. It's a nice big meeting this morning. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day. Thank you, God. We need the sun. I need the sun. And I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.